In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 390. We're talking about education today and how screwed up it is with author Alex Newman. Alex is co-author with Samuel Blumenfeld of the new book Crimes of the Educators, How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. Alex has been a correspondent for The New American for the past 8 years, and he joins us today to talk about, well, a great variety of topics because there are so many covered in his book. The show notes page for today is tomwoods.com/390, where you'll find a link to the book and to Alex, and indeed to the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, which will help you avoid all this insanity. All right, here's my conversation with Alex Newman. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
This book of yours, Crimes of the Educators, is extremely broad in terms of the topics it hits on. It's not just an essay about the difficulties with American education. It takes on one specific topic after another, all of which are controversial and all of which are very important. Let's start off by having you give us the basic overview of the book, what the basic message is, and why you and Samuel Blumenfeld wrote it, and then I want to pelt you with questions about some of the specific claims in it.
Excellent. I guess the overarching theme here is, the point we really, really want people to come away with is that what's going on in the government schools, these unimaginably terrible results that we're seeing, and, you know, everybody acknowledges that education is in a crisis, but the case that we make is that this was all deliberate. The children are not becoming dumb by accident. You know, it's not some kind of huge national oops kind of thing. This was a very deliberate strategic plan that was implemented to dumb down the American children. And we argue that this is criminal. And so we point out a variety of activities and goings on in the school that we consider to be criminal activities that ought to be prosecuted. And, you know, I think that's our biggest message here, because everybody understands that the schools are messed up and nobody's learning anything. People can't even read their high school diplomas. But people assume that it's, they're well-intentioned and just maybe people don't understand how to run the school system and it's an accident. But it's not an accident. It's deliberate and we have the documents to prove it.
Are you saying then that the solution as we move into the future is to try to reform the government school system so that the bad people have less influence?
Well, what we argue is that, first of all, the education establishment needs to be exposed and defunded. So we need to get rid of the Department of Education. And the solution that Sam and I both see is just kind of opening up the marketplace here. There needs to be more choice. There needs to be more options. More people need to homeschool. We need a more robust private school system. You know, the states can be free to try their own things and local districts can be free to try their own things. But right now, we're moving in the exact opposite direction. We're moving towards centralization at the national level and even at the international level. They're talking about global standards and the UNESCO has the World Core Curriculum. So we argue that we're basically at a fork in the road here. We're either going to go toward more centralization, which is going to produce more and more disaster, or we can move toward more freedom, educational liberty, where parents take a leading role and, you know, churches run schools and communities and private organizations and charities and just, you know, let the free market work. The government system has clearly failed. And it's in obvious need of reform if it's even salvageable at this point. And that's a big if. But we argue that freedom is the solution here.
Now, your overall claim is going to sound shocking to a great many people, and I'm sure you don't shy away from being provocative. I do want to point out to people who might be skeptical of what you're saying that if you read the New Republic magazine from the progressive era, if you read during the, because they got started around 1914, 1913, right around there, a couple of the worst years in U.S. history, they got started. And you read in the issues they put out in those years, and you read what they had to say about World War One. They don't just say the United States needs to get into World War One because the Germans are a threat and we have to stop them. They also say there will be great domestic consequences if we get involved because we will be able to wean Americans away from their silly traditional views of private property and individual rights and the traditional way Americans have always lived, regionalism, states' rights, localism. All those things will go by the wayside during the war because people will get used to the government interfering in private property. They'll get used to all kinds of decision-making being made at higher levels than they'd been made at previously. So in other words, they looked at World War One as a great educational opportunity to foist on the American public. So if these same people who were also behind progressive education, they think World War One is a great educational opportunity. Think of what education itself would be for these people. It would be a great opportunity to shape minds in a particular way.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we trace this back originally to John Dewey. He's kind of the, you know, founding father of the modern progressive education system. And those were exactly his goals, as he stated himself. His idea was to move America from this individualistic, free market kind of, you know, traditional values republic with a constitution and individual rights and private property toward a socialist collectivist utopia. And, you know, he cited Looking Backward by Edward Bellamy. It was a novel published in 1888, a fantasy about a communist America by the year 2000, this utopia where there was no private property and everybody worked for the good of the community and all this kind of stuff. And so that's what Dewey and his cohorts envisioned for America. But they knew that as long as America remained the most highly literate society on the planet, I mean, everybody knew how to read. It was just required. We set up the schools so people could read their Bibles. It was just obvious that everybody needed to read. And Dewey didn't like that. He considered that reading was a very private activity and it promoted individualism and suppressed notions of collectivism and the social good and the common good and all these things. So he set out to destroy literacy, the foundations of literacy in this country. And he wrote about, you know, the plan. We republished one of his essays called The Primary Education Fetish, where he outlined this idea that we need to get reading out of the primary schools and kids should focus more on social activities. And so one of their chief methods for accomplishing this was to change the way that people learned how to read. We have a phonetic alphabet. You know, the letters each have a sound associated with them and they work together in a certain way. And then you decode the meaning of the word and then the sentence. Dewey and his fellow progressives, is the term they like for themselves, they decided that the kids should learn how to read using this look, say, whole word, sight method. They have all kinds of different nice terms to conceal what this really is. But in a nutshell, they're teaching the kids to read English as if it were Chinese. So they look at the word and they're supposed to memorize it and associate it with a concept, just like you would with, you know, pictographic language like Chinese or hieroglyphics. And, you know, that's not how our language is supposed to work. And so, you know, there's a handful of people who can memorize enough words that, you know, make it work. But there's a lot of people who can't. And, you know, they promoted this method. They took over the teachers' colleges. They got a lot of money from the Rockefellers and others to do this. And, you know, now we see the results today. This system is in virtually every government school in the country. And the federal government itself understands the problem. They did a literacy survey in 1993, and they found that 55% of American adults could barely read. So the schools are cranking out illiterates by the millions. You know, and it's costing us hundreds of billions of dollars to do it. And these kids can't even read their high school diploma. So, you know, obviously this is a disaster. And more importantly, it was a deliberately engineered disaster for the exact purpose that you just described. They wanted to change the values of the American people toward collectivism and socialism rather than, you know, individualism and free markets.
I wrote a book back in 2004 called The Church Confronts Modernity. It was published by Columbia University Press. It is an expanded version of my doctoral dissertation, which is why, you know, it sold so few copies. But the important point in that, or one of the important points in it, does involve progressive education, and it talks about John Dewey. And in particular, it's interesting to note what his view of the Catholic schools was, because from his point of view, he wants everybody in the government schools so that he can push the particular agenda he wants pushed. If somebody's allowed to go to some other type of school, this undermines the whole plan. So he said in there, and I wish I had the quotation right in front of me, but he truly viewed the Catholic school system as a sinister force in a democracy, because his view was that in a democracy, according to his definition of the word, the people need to be very flexible in their points of view. They need to be able to change their views kind of on a dime. You know, when the progressive planners tell them they need to think this way, they need to be prepared to abandon their older views and now think this way. They need to be flexible, ready to change with the times, ready to change with what the judges now tell them the Constitution means, ready to change. You know, and the Catholic schools are teaching them dogmatic truths. Well, this runs completely contrary to the whole progressive outlook. So he viewed it as a terrible scourge, which I found revealing. A second thing I would point out is more anecdotal. In my own experience in academia years ago, I found exactly what you're saying, that people, I mean, basically almost no student I ever had could write at all. I mean, almost none of them could write competently at all. If they could write competently, I would have been happy. I'm not even looking for elegant prose. I'm looking for competence. But then I assigned a book by Thomas Sowell. I'm sure you like Thomas Sowell. He's also written on education. He's mm-hmm. written on civil rights and so on. And I assigned them a book Sowell wrote not for other scholars. He wrote it for the general public, Civil Rights, Rhetoric or Reality, a wonderful little book from the mid-1980s. And I wanted them to see all these myths that have been perpetrated about affirmative action and this and that. And what I found was not that they found the book controversial, they found it impossible to understand. This is a book written for the general public to help them evaluate public policy, to help them understand what's going on in the world. Even my brightest students could not make head or tail of this book, and I love this book. It's a wonderful book. It's devastating. It's fun to read. They can't understand anything about it. I mean, I don't know what I mean. This I don't even expect you to comment on that, because what can you say?
It's just a symptom of exactly what we're talking about, Tom. I mean, the illiteracy in the United States now is so widespread. The implications of this are terrifying. People can't even read their constitutions. How are we supposed to preserve liberty if people can't even understand the basic, most fundamental facts about, you know, what the Republic is based on, much less, you know, relatively complex books and all the works of culture and history and great literature works that came down, through the centuries and the Bible. I mean, we're creating a generation, and actually this has been going on for quite some time now, but we're creating generations of people who have no ability to acquire knowledge independently. They can't pick up a book and read it. They have to rely on what, you know, the talking heads on television tell them and what the teachers, the progressive educators in the schools tell them. And, you know, the long-term outlook under this kind of system is not going to be good for anybody who values liberty or, you know, anything that's associated with markets and knowledge even, because we are at a point now where, you know, illiteracy is so widespread, critical thinking abilities have been reduced, and it's getting all worse. Under the Common Core, for example, they're rolling out this look-say method everywhere. Even like something like half of the Catholic schools have agreed to adopt it. And, even homeschooling now is in the crosshairs of the progressive educators, because exactly what you said before about John Dewey, as long as you have, you know, some people outside of the system, there's still going to be that little emperor, that little kid to point out that the emperor has no clothes. And so now we're seeing a fiendish attack on, you know, the people who are educating children properly. And if parents don't wake up and if taxpayers don't wake up and realize what's going on here, this is all just going to keep going downhill to the point where, you know, I don't even want to think about the future.
Now, I don't want to give people a false impression of the book, because most of what you're talking about is a series of evaluations of what's going on right now. Now, with reference to history, to be sure, but you're talking about a lot of topics that are in the news today about ADD and ADHD and the drugs that are used and the crazy math that's being taught. And as you say, the method of reading. Let's say a little bit more about that. Presumably at this point, enough time has passed that we can evaluate in terms of achievement in reading, the effectiveness of traditional phonics and the old sounding out of words as versus this so-called whole word method. I mean, it's not even a contest, I understand, right?
That's exactly right. And actually, this was known to John Dewey and his cohorts even when they were promoting this. They had done experiments with the look-say and the sight method back in the 1830s, 1840s, and Boston even tried it out for a while. And it was such a miserable failure that, you know, it was just considered quackery. Nobody would teach a kid to read English as if it were Chinese. The phonics method is what works. It's what's been used for time immemorial because we have a phonetic alphabet and a phonetic, writing system. And so it's not even logical to try to teach using the whole word method. But, we bring that, you're right, all the way up to today with what's going on. And, at this point, even a lot of the books that are marketed as phonics are not phonics. They're the sight method. I'll give you an example. We just bought some for my son, and they're supposed to be phonics books. And you open up and the very first page is the list of words you need to memorize. Now, you know, you don't learn to read by memorizing what words look like. That's exactly what you would do in, for example, the Chinese language or in Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's not logical for the type of alphabet and the type of language that we have, but that's what's going on all across the country. And the Common Core promotes this. Even the pre-kindergarten and the kindergarten books that are quote unquote aligned with the national standards, the Common Core that the Obama administration is pushing and Bill Gates is pushing, this is all based on the look, say, on the sight method. And even UNESCO, the UN Education Agency, they're pushing this at the global level. We quote from them in the book as well. They have a document on how children need to learn to read. And they say, we can throw in a little bit of phonics there. But for the most part, we just need to rely on the whole word method. And we know this doesn't work. These people know that this method is quackery. Now, the teachers in the schools probably have no idea. They go through the teachers' colleges as required, and they're taught that this is how you teach kids to read. That's what they learn in their textbooks. That's what they hear from their professors. And so we argue that, in a sense, they're just as much victims as the students that they're victimizing. The progressive educational establishment understands full well what they're doing. And this has been known, again, since the early 1800s when the first experiments were done with it. Then in the 50s, we had Why Johnny Can't Read by Flesch. And, we've seen this continue all the way up to the present day. And the government has noted some of the symptoms of it. Like Ronald Reagan put together the National Commission on Educational Excellence. And they said, hey, if a foreign power had imposed this educational mediocrity on our country, we would have considered it an act of war. And we argue that it should be considered an act of war. Just because a foreign power didn't impose it doesn't mean that it's any less serious to destroy the minds of the American people for nefarious purposes. If a parent did that, they would be prosecuted.
We did an episode of this show on Common Core some time ago, so I will link to that on the show notes page for this episode, which will be tomwoods.com/390. And of course, we'll be linking to your book, Crimes of the Educators, there. But we should say a little something about Common Core. You've already brought it up, and I want to just read to you a paragraph from a short article that appeared on the American Conservative website. And this article is meant to suggest that maybe the concern over Common Core is misplaced, and I want you to answer it. So the paragraph reads, "All proponents and opponents of Common Core should take a good look at the standards themselves. When one actually looks at the material, it becomes clear that they focus on skills, not content. To use one analogy, the Common Core does not say how you should teach your child to ride a bike. That is up to your discretion. But Common Core will test your child on their ability to ride the bike proficiently. Thus, one cannot really, quote, adopt Common Core for curriculum. It doesn't really provide curricular content. One could use it to measure the difficulty and proficiency of one's curriculum, but that's slightly different." Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
Unfortunately, not at all. And actually, Bill Gates, the guy who put more than $2 billion of his own money behind Common Core, made that quite clear to us. In 2009, he was speaking to the National Conference of State Legislatures, and he said, once we have the Common Core and once the tests are aligned to the Common Core, then the curriculum is going to be aligned with it as well. And I mean, they're talking about the standards maybe not being that bad. Let's just look at the experts that they put on the Common Core Validation Committee. They had two subject matter experts, one for math and one for English. The one for English, Dr. Sandra Stotsky, I've spoken with her before. She's a wonderful woman. She's not opposed to national standards per se, which is probably one of the reasons she was selected to serve on this committee. It was supposed to be kind of a rubber stamp committee, I think. And she said, no way, I'm not signing off on this. This is going to reduce the critical thinking abilities of children. We're taking out all of the great literature and all the classics and replacing it with, quote unquote, informational texts. And, the Common Core does give some examples of what kind of informational text should be used. Obama executive orders, EPA regulations on insulation in your roof, things like that. And, you know, so she argues that these are terrible. They don't even come close to comparing to decent standards that they had in places like Massachusetts. And she refused to sign off on them. Then we can look at Dr. James Milligram, the math expert. He's a professor at Stanford in mathematics. And he said, no, I'm not signing off on this. And he wrote a big letter explaining why he wasn't going to. And I encourage people to read it. It will blow your mind. Among other concerns, he said some of this stuff is based on incorrect math. So we're now rolling out a set of national standards that's going to apply to basically the whole country. Even the states that didn't join Common Core are being ensnared in this, that is based partly on incorrect math. And he also blasts the silly methodologies that are used in Common Core. And, you know, I can't tell you how many teachers I've talked to who say, hey, this isn't how you teach math. You know, this has to come first. And I can't do this in my classroom. The kids are just getting confused and they cry and they think they're stupid. They're not stupid. The standards are stupid. And, you know, so the only two subject matter experts on the rubber stamp committee selected by the Common Core people refused to sign off on it. So that should give people an idea of how terrible these standards actually are, even if we accept the notion that we ought to have a set of national standards to begin with.
What can you say about the subject, at least briefly, because I've also done an episode on, I had an author on, a doctor who not very controversially argues that ADHD is being overdiagnosed. He also argues that autism is being overdiagnosed. And so I've already covered that topic, but your chapter heading for that chapter is drug pushing, the cure, in quotation marks, for ADD and ADHD. What did you find there?
Well, it's not just ADHD and ADD. Actually, what we found is that a lot of these so-called psychiatric problems and behavioral issues are being caused by what the schools are doing. Dyslexia is another good example. So they're teaching kids to read the wrong way and their brain is getting wired backwards. And, you know, then they can't read properly and they diagnose it with this, you know, quack medical label. And, you know, Sam has done the experiments. He's taken kids who are supposed to be, with dyslexia or things like this and taught them how to read using phonics. And what he finds is that he can, quote unquote, cure them. They don't have dyslexia anymore after they learn how to read with phonics. And we argue that what's going on with the ADD and the ADHD is a very similar thing. So they're harming the minds of these children. Nobody can sit still when, maybe the kids don't understand exactly what's happening, but they know that this isn't right. And so they act out. They don't sit still. They're not interested in learning this propaganda. And then, instead of dealing with the root cause of the problem, which is what the schools are doing to the children, they push hard drugs on them. And make no mistake, these drugs that they're using for ADD and ADHD, these are really serious drugs. I mean, this is like crystal meth that you just happen to get at the pharmacy. These are heavy duty amphetamines. The idea that we ought to be medicating 8-year-old boys with hard drugs, just it's mind boggling.
Now, you point out toward the end of your book that this is not a phenomenon that's isolated here in the United States. It's not limited to the United States, but that we see similar pedagogical trends taking place all over the world. Where's it all going? What's the end goal of all this?
The amazing thing about this topic is that they're so open about it, actually. One of the things that I did for the book was I spent a lot of time going through UNESCO documents and training manuals for teachers and speeches by Arnie Duncan, Obama's education secretary. And they're basically telling us flat out where this is all going and what they're doing. Arnie Duncan, for example, brags that he's to UNESCO. He gives a speech to UNESCO. He calls them his global partner in global education reform, which, of course, is taking place here as well. And he says, we're creating the next generation of green global citizens ready for their green jobs and the green sustainable world order. Green is just the new red. I call them watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. And if you look at the policies they're promoting, they're, practically the same. Obama's green jobs czar was actually a self-described communist revolutionary. That's why he was forced to resign. And then you look at what UNESCO is doing, and it all lines up very well. So the UNESCO just recently, last week, actually, this happened after we put out our book, they put out a report on how much progress they were making on their Education for All initiative. Now, this is an effort to standardize education globally. They've decided that all humans require certain knowledge, and they're going to define what knowledge the humans require, and that they're going to make sure that it's taught in schools around the world. Among other knowledge that humans require is pornographic sex education from the time they're about 5 years old. And, you know, you can look at the manuals on, I won't even talk about them here because some of it is just so outrageous. It's not appropriate for a talk show. But they're pushing this in schools all over the world. And, you know, the UN also has this thing called the Sustainable Education for All. So we're moving into this 21st century of sustainability, they call it. And they're so blunt. One of the quotes that I think was most interesting to me, they say higher education and more education leads to higher incomes. And higher income means more consumption of goods and services and resources. And therefore, more education is not compatible with sustainable development. Now, if we're having all this education for sustainable development and the Green World Order that they're bragging about, and education, more education is not compatible with sustainable development, I mean, they're basically telling you right up front what they're doing here. They don't want educated citizens. They want indoctrinated citizens. They're teaching them nonsense in history, in science, in environmentalism. And I mean, if you listen to what they're saying, they're practically telling us that we're moving toward a new era of global central planning. And that's what all this data collection is for. UNESCO says we need, you know, similar data collection all around the world. We need all kids to be learning. They even developed a world core curriculum, believe it or not. Bill Gates signed an agreement with them in 2004 with UNESCO to develop a master curriculum. But they already had a world core curriculum developed by Robert Mueller. Now, this was kind of he was a deputy secretary general of the UN, and he was a kind of new age, you know, weird guy. He was a self-described disciple of Alice Bailey. You know, she's the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. She said, you know, spirit entities would come into her and she would write these books about education and the new age, you know, really influential in UN circles. And so I encourage people to read what these people are saying, because they're telling us where they're going. The only reason people aren't aware of it is because the media isn't connecting the dots. So what we do is we take the primary source documents and quote from them. And, you know, if you want to argue with it, take it up with UNESCO.
Well, the book is Crimes of the Educators, How Utopians Are Using Government Schools to Destroy America's Children. We're linking to it. Of course, you can get it on Amazon.com, but we're linking to it also on the show notes page, TomWoods.com/390. Well, Alex, very interesting stuff. I enjoyed reading it. A lot of interesting information that I was not aware of myself. And glad I had a chance to catch up with you today. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Of course, the antidote to all this is the project I've spent so much time working on, which is the Ron Paul curriculum, which is a K-12 curriculum covering all the standard subjects in ways that will enrich children, will give students an opportunity to be exposed to ideas they would not be exposed to in the traditional school, that will explain the freedom philosophy to them instead of ignoring it or disparaging it or treating it in cartoon or comic book fashion. And also things like the hard sciences. They're learning how to build robots and radios in grade 7 and 8 science. It's unbelievable, this curriculum, what you get. So if you are interested in the Ron Paul curriculum, check it out through ronpaulhomeschool.com. That's my special link to track how successful I am in driving people over to the site. And on the show notes page for today, tomwoods.com/390, I show you how, if you join the Ron Paul curriculum through ronpaulhomeschool.com, you type that in, and then you go on to join after that. Once you've typed in ronpaulhomeschool.com, you've entered the site, and then you go on to join. I give you instructions on the show notes page for today how you can get. I will send you a free copy of The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, and I will also send you a free 10-lesson bonus course that will help get your junior high students excited for this curriculum. It's a course on the foundations of liberty, and you'll get that for free. So you get a free course, a free book, if you join the Ron Paul curriculum through ronpaulhomeschool.com. You enter the site through ronpaulhomeschool.com. So if you're planning to join that site, there's no reason not to join it by first entering through ronpaulhomeschool.com, because you get a free book and a free course. Just join and then write to me through tomwoods.com, and you can get those things. So definitely check that out, and thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.